And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Bill Peacock from Excellent Thought. And Bill, I think this is the second time we've talked. Welcome.
You're right, Dan. It is the second time, and I'm very happy to be back. Thank you.
The other day, I came across an article you did, the title of which is The Head of Government, Jesus Christ. And it's Article 6 of 11 in the America at 250 series. Today, as we're airing this, it is the 4th of July, very important in our nation's history. Bill, I suspect you're the same, but I absolutely love our country. We're far from perfect. We need a lot of work, and probably we'll talk about that during this discussion, but I'm so thankful to the Lord, and it's no credit of my own, that I was born here. It's a tremendous blessing. So why don't you tell us a little about Excellent Thought, and we'll get going on this discussion. The Head of the Government, Jesus Christ, Bill Peacock.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Well, the main focus of Excellent Thought, which I've been doing for many years now, is to bring kind of the intersection of policy and culture and theology, right? Apply the Bible to the world and the culture around us. And so what we do here, or what I do basically here, is I try and do that, take my public policy experience. I've been doing this for 30-plus years, and study of economics and study of theology, and kind of just bring it all together and look at the world and the problems we have today. Right now, I'm in the middle of a series, or by the time this airs on Saturday, I will just have finished with a series of 11 articles on America 250 years old, and trying to look at the beginning of our constitutional order, which is very sound, hundreds of years of history behind that, and then how it's fallen, so the rise of it, the fall of it throughout the course of our history, because I think it's declined significantly.
Yes.
And then most recent, and then finishing it off with the redemption.
I love that.
And this article today that we're discussing, The Head of Government, is the first of those articles, and how what we need to do as Americans, if we're going to seek redemption of our constitutional order and have this country live up to the expectations that I think a lot of people did, so many of our founders did at the beginning of its
history. That's good. Sometimes we get pushback, and I expect that. That's fine. You know, some Christians don't think that the Bible applies to anything but warm feelings about the Lord in church, and that's where it's supposed to stay. But of course, had it stayed there, there would have been no United States of America. So it's kind of crazy. Today, it is the 4th of July. It's 250th year of our birth, if you date it back to the Declaration of Independence, I believe. What about telling our listeners a little bit about your article? And you also have some examples in history in there that I'm very interested in, including Alfred the Great. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, so basically what I put together is four key themes that we need to focus on and acknowledge as a society and culture and a nation if we're going to go through this process of renewal. Christ is making all things new.
Amen.
And so, and he's going to do that because that's what God has set him to do. But he accomplishes that through us for the most part. It's kind of a crazy thing to even think about.
Yeah.
But the King and Creator of all things accomplishes a lot of his work through us.
Mm.
And that's a heavy responsibility. And one we would fail at entirely. Matter of fact, we have failed at entirely, except for the redeeming work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, His work. And so the four principles, I'll just hit them very quickly, are, first of all, and I start with this, the idea of the covenant, that Christ is the head of civil government. The second one is that the purpose of civil government is liberty. The third one is that the design of civil government is decentralization. And then the last one is the confines of civil government, which is sphere sovereignty.
Yes, yes, sphere sovereignty for sure. Right.
And so those articles are coming up. But the one today, obviously, starts with this covenant head. Jesus Christ created us, he made us, and he entered into a covenant with us in the garden and told us to go out, the dominion covenant, the creation mandate, however you choose to call it. It said, sure. Go out and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over it. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, because God wanted us to go out and make a dwelling place.
Yes.
For God with man. He started in the garden. He prepared it for us, and it was perfectly completed. But the rest of the world still needed work. So we didn't even get out of the garden before we failed in this. But
yes.
But God came along and brought redemption to us, the plan of redemption. And so now we have to go out and we have to do two things. Not only do we have to fill the earth, but we have to work to fill the earth with disciples of God, which means doing a lot of conversion work in the process.
Yeah.
And so that's one of our big problems today is, you know, we come into a country today with either a bunch of unbelievers or some Christians who don't quite get all this and,
right.
and don't really think that Jesus Christ is the King of all kings, and that applies not just in heaven, but here on earth, and it applies not just here on earth in our hearts and our churches, but in government and culture and business and everywhere else. And so
yeah.
So this theme here is the first place I'm starting with, that we need to go forward if we're going to seek renewal of our culture and our civil government.
Yeah, and what we're referring to here is your series of articles. It appears under, how do you get it? What do you look up in order to get your articles?
Yeah, well, I'm on Substack, but if you just look up Bill Peacock, Excellent Thought, you can find it there, or Excellent Thought Substack, you can find it there.
Okay, yep. Bill Peacock, Excellent Thought. And do people ever tease you a little bit about that last name?
Most people think it's a pretty cool last name.
It is cool, that last name, absolutely. And it's... I bet the kids had a lot of fun with that when they said, "Hey, Bill Peacock is here."
Yeah, well, between Bill and Peacock, there's all kinds of things that kids can make up about both of those things. But I don't hear them too much anymore.
No, not anymore. Yeah, I believe that Christ was really serious when he gave us the Great Commission, and he told us it's not just a suggestion either. He told us to disciple the nations. I'm the first to admit I'm not doing nearly enough on that front. But the fact that he's commanded it, he expects it, and by his Holy Spirit, he gives the empowerment for that, should be very important, it seems, at least to our churches, teaching the people to do this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I tell folks who question some of this. I mean, so God commanded us to go out, be fruitful and multiply. He told Abraham that all the nations and the peoples of the earth would be blessed in him. Christ told us to, like you said, to go out and to disciple the nations. And he's also told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then I say, okay, so do you think really God and Jesus would tell us to go do these things if we were going to fail at them?
I
just don't think that's the case.
I didn't get it before I came on, but there is a marvelous piece in the larger catechism. I think it's question 191, where it talks about this very thing that you alluded to, and that's the Lord's Prayer. where we are instructed to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the larger catechism goes through all kinds of information related to that. And I doubt that many Christians even believe that nowadays. I do. I absolutely accept the larger catechism and the explanations in question 191. But look that up when you get a chance. It's marvelous in dealing with the Lord's Prayer and application of that in this world that we're living right now.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't need to be a Reformed Presbyterian like I am or anything else to, I mean, those are really helpful tools, and they're not just helpful, they are filled with wisdom.
Yeah.
But you just look at the basic Bible passages behind them. Right? And you, whatever denomination you are and whatever depth of learning you have, those ought to really make people think about these some particular views of Christianity that just don't allow for the Bible to operate outside our hearts and maybe our homes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about history. You mentioned some interesting characters here. The first is from a long time ago, Alfred the Great. Can you tell us a little bit about him? And was he working under the Lord? Was he, what was he like?
Well, Alfred is I think he's a fabulous figure in history, and particularly in the history of the Christian West and that we have inherited since then. And so, basically, you know, King Alfred was the king of it wasn't even England at the time, but Saxon, the Anglo-Saxon part of the, particularly down in southern England, what we'd call southern England today, you know, and it was a time of the great Norman Viking invasions, right? The Danes and the Vikings, they were all coming in and just trying to basically had taken over most of England.
Yeah.
And, but he out of a swamp where he had to go hide for a while, he came back and he basically either banished the Danes and the Vikings and that crowd, or came to peace with them and led to the eventual Anglo-Saxon leadership of England until the Normans came in.
Right? Yeah.
And so what he did then, of course, and so what he did was he saved Christianity in England, because if these others were all heathens.
Right? Yeah.
And so once he got set up there, he brought in and he created a law code. And his law code was essentially a restatement of the book of Deuteronomy.
Oh.
And many of its law, many of the laws that you could find in there in Leviticus.
Yeah.
And so his law code was essentially the Bible, right? Not exactly, but essentially that. And, you know, it's. So it was beautiful. He said, God's law applies to us right here and right now.
Oh,
not
sure.
Maybe exactly the same way it did in ancient Israel, but it still applies to us, and we have to understand that. And in some ways, you could say, well, it's kind of been all downhill from there for Western civilization, because we haven't quite seen it, except for maybe Calvin's Geneva.
Oh,
And some of those things in along the way, but we haven't seen a large scale with an entire country since then. But we still, you know, can have built off that, and many of our those who came before us, particularly in the English heritage, have followed that model along the lines.
And you write a little bit here in your piece about Calvin's Geneva, and you frame it as he understood public order under Christ. And he when he writes about the ecclesiastical ordinances, he begins, "In the name of God Almighty, he declared the city's duty," I'm just reading from your article, "to preserve the doctrine of the Holy Gospel of our Lord in its purity, to protect the Christian church, I'll let you continue on. You know what you wrote better than me.
Well, no, you got it exactly right. And, you know, so that's about 1500, the 1500s, the Reformation. Even before that, we had the Magna Carta.
Yes.
That was signed by King John. Now, King John didn't sign it because he was trying to glorify God. He who knows what his relationship with Jesus Christ was, but mm-hmm. he sure didn't exhibit the kind of character that King Alfred did. But he was coerced to sign this document by the English lords. But nonetheless, you know, the document itself showed that John really was this abusive king was being restrained not by these lords but under the laws of God.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you take all this, you put that and Calvin and Alfred, and there's lots of others. There's also the what not many people know about the 1643 Solemn League and Covenant.
Heard of that. Absolutely, tell us more.
Yeah, well, you know, in that, England, Scotland, and Ireland actually made a covenant with God, right? And they said that we are here covenanting with you, Lord, and making you our Lord and our God. They said, before our eyes, the glory of God and the advancement of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the stated goal of their covenant, and to reach out for the glory of God, the enlargement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and the peace and tranquility of Christian kingdoms and commonwealths.
It's amazing.
And this was the covenant. And so that's a history that America inherited, and you see this in the charters for the colonies that they started up. You see it a little bit later in the Declaration of Independence, and then you also see it in the early constitutions for the states. It's like, you know, God, we're here to serve you, and we're submitting to you and your will and your law. and you know, that's if we want to get back to those things or actually do a better job than we did and move forward in the right way, you know, the first thing we have to do is say, Christ, you are Lord over our nation.
Yes. There's one of those covenanter churches not too far from where I am, and they sing the Psalms. They don't use music. They don't have organs or pianos and that sort of thing. And if they lightened up a little bit on that, I'd probably go there because I really like those folks, and they're... I consider them very, very faithful to the Word of God, and I think we have one of the oldest ones near us, near the Newburgh area, someplace down there. I should have looked it up before we talked about that, but they're a very faithful group, and they have their own publishing house, and they're doing good work, and so... if you love the Psalms, you absolutely will love the Covenanters, and they're alive and well to this very day.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some good folks out there.
Yeah. So I consider them my brothers and sisters in the Lord. You mentioned also the Mayflower Compact. We're talking history here. What about the Mayflower Compact? See if I can say that word, compact.
Well, yeah. So, you know, the original charters for the colonies were written over in England as they were being granted to the investors, right?
Yeah.
The people who wanted to come over and make these colonies. But the Mayflower Compact was written on the boat by the people who didn't have a charter.
Yeah.
Right. They you know, these were the original Pilgrims and Puritans who had run from England under persecution from the Anglican Church there in the throne under King James and some under Elizabeth too, and so they came over they're going to plop over here on America's shore somewhere, and they don't have a charter, but they wanted a system of governance under God, and so they wrote the Mayflower Compact, and it starts out in the name of God, right? They recognize that if they were going to set up a government here in the United States, a colony, it needed a government, and that government needed to be under God if they were going to have any chance of success.
And when these people write that, what they mean is, correct me if I'm wrong, the triune God of the Scriptures.
Absolutely. There's only one God, right?
And that's right.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's something that is misunderstood even by a lot of Christians. The God that Jews worship today is not God. The God, the Allah, that the Muslims worship is not God. Mm. Right? And those are little g gods.
Yeah,
they're not the triune God. And the Mormons, that has been a recent, shake up. Everybody's been concerned about that.
Sure.
Mormons don't worship the same God. They say Jesus Christ is a fine fellow. They even call him a God, but he hasn't always been one. Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Sure.
And so, but we live in this pluralistic society today, which unfortunately a lot of folks in Christendom over the last 50-100 years have thought it's an acceptable thing to do. But we really need to put our trust as a nation not under these false gods and pluralistic societies, but under the one triune God, as you mentioned.
This Mayflower Compact also, it talks about having undertaken their voyage for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, and it's in the presence of this triune God that they covenant together into a civil body politic, quote unquote. That's a profound statement right there.
Well, it really is, and it points back in some ways to what I was talking about earlier, is the solemn league and covenant.
Yes.
For us, it points back. For them, they actually wrote this before the Solemn League and Covenant, mm-hmm. Just a few years before when they landed on Plymouth Rock. But let me just hit this a little bit more deeply, because it's really fascinating. So 1643 is during the middle of the English Civil War, when the Protestants in Parliament rebelled against Charles the First, and eventually defeated him and beheaded him, and that's when Oliver Cromwell took over and ran as a Lord Protector and ran England until he died. Well, this is also the same time, as I'm sure you know, when the Westminster divines all came together on the call of the of Parliament to write. To write documents that explain the true religion. And so while all this is going on, Parliament decided that they needed to make a covenant with God. And so they did that, right? They adopted this solemn league and covenant, and they did it. Ireland was part of England at that time, and so Ireland was included in that, and Scotland was still separate, at least had a parliament that was separate. And so the Scottish Parliament and the English Parliament in Ireland all came together and made a covenant with God that they would honor and obey him, as I talked about before, mm-hmm. and to his glory. Well, so the interesting thing for us as Americans is America, the colonies, were part of that, mm-hmm. right? They were part of this, just beginning, but the people who were here were part of that because we are all under English law. And then the people who came over from England after that, and Scotland and Ireland, like the Scots, Irish, were all part of that. And so one could make a very compelling case, I think, that America right now is still in covenant with God.
That's interesting.
The 1643 Solemn League and Covenant, which is not just interesting, I mean, and it's wonderful in a lot of ways, but it also should be a great caution to us, because God can deal quite harshly with covenant breakers.
Yes.
Those who commit to him. And
Well, Bill, a lot of people don't believe that anymore. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, God's going to accomplish his will, and his will be done, and his Abraham's offspring and Christians will fill the earth like stars in the sky and grains of sand.
Amen. There's no question about it.
But I would love it, you know, if the United States of America is part of that for a very long time.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not going to be here when all that happens. and neither will my son. I expect this will take quite some time. But I would love for our offspring and the offspring of faithful Christians today to be part of shaping that future. And if they can shape that future in this country that God has given us, that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, no question. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and we're out of time already. I can't believe this. Today we've been talking with Bill Peacock. A lot of good stuff here. Please look Bill up online, dear listener. He's got the article we're talking about today, The Head of Government, Jesus Christ, and it's a series of articles that he's doing for the America at 250 series. His last name is spelled P-E-A-C-O-C-K, Peacock, and he heads up Excellent Thought. Those two words are joined together, Excellent Thought. And there's a lot more we could talk about, but you get the flavor. Bill, God bless you. Let's connect in the future, God willing.
Thank you, Dan. I'd love to do it again.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.